Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, another very relevant guest. We are coming to a close of political season, and all of us are going to collectively give a big sigh of relief. And I have an interesting guest on the program for you today, because one of the political subjects, which is also a financial subject, is Social Security. Well, we came across, very fortunately, Tom Marganow, who is hundreds of papers, a syndicated columnist, and he writes about Social Security. Social Security and You by Tom Marganow. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, thanks, David. Nice to be with you.
Well, I'm so flattered you'd agree to be on the program. I was kind of asking Tom before we started the program. I said, well, where could I direct people to come find you? And you said, well, they need to look at one of the papers, maybe do an internet search or look for the column you're writing. Is it a weekly column?
It's a weekly column, and if they're fortunate enough to live in one of the cities that it runs in, all they have to do is open the paper. Otherwise, they can go online, because I write for a syndicate called Creators. So it's creators.com. So if they just go to www.creators.com and do a search for Social Security, they'll find me.
Yeah, that's pretty simple. In fact, I just did that while you were explaining, and up you popped, and there you are, looking rather dapper.
That picture is 10 years old, but I got even better looking since that picture was taken.
I was going to say, you look very relaxed, because that's the way to be. So I asked Tom to come on. The big subject, of course, because he writes about this all the time, and I love this experience you have, Tom. There are not many people that can say this. 32 years working for Social Security Administration in a variety of positions.
Right, and I've retired 5 or 6 or 7 years ago now, so it's been 40 years I've been dealing with Social Security issues. So I know the topic as well as anybody, I think.
I think that would be a fair statement. So we can get into this. What would be probably one of the most surprising either myths or revelations that you could share with our listeners about Social Security that they would say, whoa, I didn't know that?
Well, there's sort of two sides to Social Security, the political side of Social Security and then the sort of practical side of Social Security, you know, what's in it for me. And both sides have their myths and misunderstandings. Since we're in the political season, maybe I'll concentrate on the political side of the program.
Have at it.
I think the biggest thing people misunderstand is, first of all, how the system got into the problem, the long-range problem it has. You'll hear people saying, well, if Congress had kept their cotton-picking hands off this money, we wouldn't be in any trouble. People think Congress has stolen every nickel of the funds, and that grows out of a misunderstanding of how the system has always been financed, and the way it's always been financed is every nickel of assets the system has to be invested by law in U.S. Treasury securities. So
there's not like this new IOU that was created where they went and they raided the Social Security Trust Fund and they used all that money to prop up the government and maintain the budget and then left just IOUs in the form of Treasury. This has been done since 1936?
Yeah, right. Now, for the first 50 years of the program, the system was purposely designed to take in just enough money every year to pay promised benefits with just a little bit of cushion in reserve. And again, those reserves were all U.S. Treasury bonds. But in the 80s, they sort of fundamentally changed the way Social Security works in that they, instead of running it as a what's known as pay-as-you-go, taking enough money to pay the current benefits, they modified it a bit and they started taking in way more money than was needed to pay promised benefits.
Why do they do that? Were they actually trying to look ahead?
Yeah, I mean, yes, they were. they were anticipating the retirement of the baby boomers, and they say we got to do something to prepare for the retirement of the baby boomers. So they started taking in all this extra money. It was a series of relatively modest tax increases and relatively modest benefit cuts, Social Security benefit cuts. But because the program is so huge, relatively modest changes have a pretty big impact on the system. And so those changes led to what we have today, where the system has now built up a little more than $1 trillion in assets. But the problem is every nickel of that money, again, isn't, well, it's a problem. It's sort of a good news, bad news thing. Every nickel of that money is invested in Treasury notes. So I always put it this way. If you're the commissioner of Social Security, the person who heads the Social Security system, you look at that $1 trillion and you say, I've got $1 trillion in assets. But if you're the secretary of the Treasury, you look at that same trust fund scenario and you say, I've got $1 trillion in debt that I owe the Social Security system.
Exactly.
And you know, we as citizens, we kind of got a foot in both camps. We're taxpayers for a while, and then we're beneficiaries for a while, Social Security beneficiaries for a while. So, I mean, what it comes down to is we kind of owe ourselves $1 trillion. And the bottom line is the system will never, you know, the U.S. government is never, ever, ever going to renege on its obligations, whether it's to private citizens or to the Social Security system. But the issue is where the heck are we, the people, going to get $1 trillion to pay back the Social Security system?
And well, Tom, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll let you answer that question.
Okay.
We have Tom Marganow on the line with us. He is a columnist, a syndicated columnist. I'm envious. I told him that. Hundreds of papers across the country. And, of course, you can go to creators.com, click on the button that says the syndication section, and there will be a spot you can do a search for Social Security, and up you will pop in all of his articles. And, of course, you can just do a Google search and probably find him that way as well. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back. Tom Marganow is our guest, a syndicated columnist, hundreds of papers, 32 years of experience with Social Security, and another half a dozen or so, 40 years of looking, reading, researching up to his eyeballs and then some in Social Security. And so, Tom, before the break, we were talking about how the Social Security system had evolved and how it, well, now today you've got $1 trillion of debt that is of U.S. debt, basically this IOU to ourselves.
Right.
And, you know, one of the interesting things and some of the things you wrote that I found very interesting is that basically, three times a month, the Commissioner of Social Security goes to the Treasury Secretary and says, hey, I need $20 billion. Get me a check, and I got to write checks out to my beneficiaries.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And all of that, again, is in these Treasury notes. And every month, or three times every month, for 70 years now, although checks used to come out once a month, but last 10 or 15 years, they've come out three times a month.
Okay.
I mean, a person gets one check a month, but the checks are staggered, so different people get checks on different days of the month. But anyway, there's three times a month for decades now. The government has always made good on its obligations to the Social Security system, and
$60 billion a month is a lot of money.
Yeah, people don't understand. They just can't grasp how big Social Security is. A lot of people are always saying, "Why doesn't the government run Social Security like a pension plan, my pension plan or some other pension plan, or like an insurance company?"
Well, they couldn't. The impact on investing would be huge.
Social Security is one-fifth of the entire federal budget of this country. And people just can't grasp that.
Can you imagine the investment manager, if they did that, trying to go and do enough diversification? We have a CFA right here in our office. That would give Scott Connor heartburn like nobody's business to try to invest that and get you would have just a crazy impact. So they really don't have a choice but to do the Treasury bonds.
Exactly. And we're not alone in this. I mean, every civilized country on the planet has a Social Security system, and they all basically fund themselves the same way our system does, because it is the only way you can run a giant social insurance program like this.
Well, if you've got, I'm thinking of Japan right off the top of my head. I know that their debt is double their GDP. And so I'm thinking, okay, they have an even greater situation along with your...
All of these countries face the same issue we face. The baby boom generation isn't unique to the United States. You know, again, every civilized or Western industrialized nation on the planet faces these same kind of issues with an aging population. And And we've got to do something to deal with that. And as I've pointed out in my column before, what we can do to deal with it are relatively modest changes to the system can keep the system afloat for decades and decades to come.
So we don't have to pull it out by its roots.
No, not at all. I mean, we're talking things like raising the retirement age. That's
okay.
No matter who's elected president.
That's pretty practical, isn't it?
It makes perfect sense. How did 65 used to be the retirement age? It's on its way to 67, but the that for years and years it was 65, and that sort of became a sacred number in our society, but it really was had no basis in fact. There was no good reason, really, to pick age 65 in the first place as a retirement age. It was almost like throwing darts at a dartboard, and 65 came up, and that became the retirement age. And so you can make a really good case for bumping it up to 68. And we're not talking tomorrow. You know, we're
right.
talking
grandfathering it in.
My granddaughter would have to be 68 years old in order to collect the Social Security benefits, and she's 4 years old right now. So,
well, it's already 67 for me to get full retirement. And,
right.
you know, I think that what you're putting on the table, Tom, is definitely one of the options is to raise the age not only for full benefits, but another one, which has probably become an even more sacred cow. And I deal with this on a regular basis, so I don't want anybody out there who listens to my program think I'm suggesting this. But another obvious solution is looking at the age 62 early retirement as well.
Right. It's that has stayed at 62, even as the full retirement
exactly.
age has been bouncing up. But frankly, I haven't heard any talk of bumping up that early retirement age or any serious talk. But that would be another solution is to do that.
Because you're dealing with such a large number, you know, this minor adjustments can really make a big difference.
Matter of fact, I've seen the numbers run by various actuaries that just bumping up the age to, I think it's 68, might be 69, wipes out about half of the long-range
wow.
debt of the Social Security system. So you're right, relatively minor adjustments. Another adjustment might be reducing cost of living increases that Social Security beneficiaries automatically get. Now that, especially in places like Florida, that I'd get booed off the stage if I suggested.
Yeah, so I'm not going to be able to agree with you on that one, Tom, because I'm right here in Florida. Let me take another quick break, Tom. Tom Marganow is our guest. He is a syndicated columnist in hundreds of papers. You go to creators.com website. You can do a search for him there or just do a Google search. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Stay there.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back. Our guest today is Tom Marganow, and he is helping me understand some of the solutions and some of the background about Social Security. And so we're talking about some of these different ways that we can basically, the commonly used term is shore up Social Security. Now, obviously, one of the things that comes up very often hand in hand is Medicare. And, you know, the perception, and this may be another myth that you can clear up for us, Tom, but the perception is that, well, if they give me a raise, you know, the government, they give me a raise on Social Security, that cost of living increase, all they do is turn around and take it back from me with my Medicare Part B premiums.
Right, which isn't, I mean, the two are linked in a way, but it isn't a direct link. Medicare premiums are set by law. The Part B premium is set by law to cover 25% of the cost of running the Part B program. So as healthcare costs go up, then the Medicare Part B premium is going to go up because, again, the law says it has to cover 25% of the cost, which is an interesting point, by the way. I know senior citizens, and I'm a senior citizen, and I'm surrounded by in a neighborhood of senior citizens, and they're griping to me all the time about the Part B premium. But I always point out to them, do you realize that money you're paying only funds one-fourth of the program? Taxpayers are picking up the other three-fourths of the program.
Yeah, isn't that something? Well, I think that was an easy myth to dispel because I think very often there's a bit of conspiratorial presumption that goes on that, well, they're giving it to me in one hand and taking it back like it's six guys are in a room making that call and figuring out how we can do a sleight of hand, but they really are separate programs.
And again, the Medicare premium is based entirely on healthcare costs. If healthcare costs rise, Medicare premiums rise. Actually, the last couple of years, the Medicare premium hasn't risen. But
it's also needs-based, where somebody who has more income will pay a higher Medicare Part B premium than somebody with less.
And that's a bit of a new feature to the program. Well, relatively new. I think it's been going on for maybe 10 years now or so. And people are talking about doing the same thing with Social Security.
Well, that's why I brought it up, and that's another fear, if you will, of what a lot of folks might consider to be.
I personally don't like means testing Social Security because then you turn it into a welfare program.
Well, I guess the question is, because you have the experience with it, was it that way when it was first started? Was it means tested? Was it intended as a safety net and not what it is today?
Well, it was intended as a safety net, but there was never any.
There's never been any means testing?
Well, if there were, it was the extremely early days of the program. But there's certainly for the last 50, 60 years, there's been no means testing of the program. And again, people always say, like, why should Bill Gates get a Social Security check? He doesn't get it now, but someday he'll be 65 or 67 or whatever age he has to be, and he'll get a Social Security check. And people say, why should he get it? Well, guess what Bill would say? I've worked. I've paid taxes like everybody else. Social Security isn't welfare. I paid into the system, and I should get something out of it. Plus, actuaries will tell you that, you could cut millionaires off of Social Security, and it is a worthless gesture. It does absolutely nothing to save the system long range.
It's politically expedient what it is.
Yeah, and that would be silly for anybody to do that. I don't think it'll happen. You really have to drop the level way down low until you start affecting the upper middle class citizens of this country to make means testing work. And I don't think we're ever going to do that where if you have more than $250,000 in assets, you ain't going to get a Social Security check. That's not going to happen.
Well, you know what I do, Tom, when I do my financial planning for clients, I try to kind of take a balanced approach here. And so what I'll do for Social Security, and this you may share with me today that I'm overdoing it, but I will use a 0% increase in Social Security in terms of the cost of living adjustment and just have it be a flat line all the way out. So if it ends up being more, wonderful, but I'm trying to approximate the potential increases for healthcare and the Medicare Part B premium, but also the fact that there is a slight risk that they could do something to adjust the benefit level if you have a certain amount of assets. And I do that as kind of a safe place to be, and then we need to build in for additional income above Social Security, especially the inflation component, we need to plan on drawing from other sources.
That's a very realistic approach, and certainly much better than I've run into more than a few financial planners out there who tell people don't even count on Social Security being part of your and that's
too much. Yeah, that's too much, and I think you're creating way too much dependence. And ironically, you may cause the person to not end up achieving their goals because that forces a too much risk averse or too conservative of a strategy to deliver all of the income you need from super safe investments. You're not going to have anything for inflation.
Speaking of strategies, I think you might want to, I got a hunch we're getting close to running out of time, and we might want to come back sometime and talk about some of these on the practical side of Social Security, some of these strategies for maximizing a person's Social Security benefits.
Well, Tom, we've got time. We're going to take one more short break, and when we come back, we'll have a few minutes to wrap it up. So stay right there.
Okay.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
We're back. Tom Marganow is our guest, syndicated columnist, hundreds of papers across the country. We are privileged to have him on the radio program. If you'd like to get some more information, start reading that column. Of course, you can Google or go to creators.com, click on the syndicate button, and then do a search for Social Security, and up will pop his column, and you can bookmark that and go back to it. Tom, you will be invited back for a future program. I'd love to have you come back and talk about some other subjects, and you definitely go in the invite back category or column of our balance sheet here.
I'll be waiting.
So we've got a couple minutes left. What are some of the other things you'd like to leave our listeners with? I mean, we've talked about some of the different ways or solutions that may be necessary or appropriate to, again, just shore up safe Social Security for everybody. Also, some of the realistic aspects of maybe not, like I do, don't bank on these cost of living adjustments when you're doing your planning. What else would you share with our listeners about Social Security?
Well, how about a little tease on the practical end of
okay, good.
The One typical thing people can do to sort of maximize their Social Security payout, and this would be if we have a husband and wife kind of situation, is that one of them, and assuming both of them work, so they're both going to get some Social Security on their own, usually I would advise the higher earning person that they could start out by taking benefits off the spouse's account. By the way, this has to be at age 66. You can't do these playing around with the benefits if you take reduced benefits. But if you wait till age 66, you could take benefits off of your spouse's account and live on that. You would get half of their benefit until age 70. And then at age 70, you switch to your own benefit. And not only do you get 100% of your own benefit, but you get 100% plus a roughly 32% monthly bonus.
That's because you've maxed it out at 70.
You've maxed it. Wow. Yeah. If you wait till 70, you get this, what they call it, a delayed retirement bonus. So you get this extra bonus. So from then on, you would be getting the 132% of your own Social Security from age 70 on. So that's a little, it's not a gimmick. It's a totally legal procedure, but it's a strategy of taking Social Security benefits that a lot of people aren't aware of.
That's very interesting. There's a lot of options. And of course, this is why, you know, and this is one of the things that we look at when we work with people in planning. And that's why it's so important for people to consult with a planner. Tom, we're out of time. I'll have you back. Tom Marganow has been our guest, hundreds of papers across the country, syndicated columnist, and we will have you back, Tom. Thank you very much.
Sure. I look forward to it.
All righty.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.